All right, welcome to this episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry.
All right, everybody. Larry, we're here again to discuss what we do every week. Sometimes it's boring, sometimes it's the same, but never, never, ever boring.
Larry. Boring? No, no, no. We are not boring, please.
No.
Boring.
Boring, yes.
Yes, anything for another job at Sirius or anywhere
else. Yes, Larry was actually buffing my testicles with a feather before the show.
You should have seen right before the action.
Yeah.
There was action.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway.
Defending free speech.
Oh, stop it.
So dead.
Why be so colloquial? What was that Carla used to say?
Don't be so gauche.
Why be so colloquial? Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. Anyway, let's move forward. Before we do anything else, it's time to pimp out what is The Riot. Go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all the latest and greatest past episodes, show synopses. You can download past episodes, watch past episodes on the site. Go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com, as well as other links of interest. You'll find those on the website. When you get done with that, don't forget social media. Go to facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Become a fan of the Riotous page. Join your fellow rioters. Yeah, I hate it when I do that. You know that?
What?
Just refer to people who watch this nonsense as rioters.
Yeah, it has a bad connotation to it.
It's not that it's bad. I just feel like it's hack.
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
it sounds
it's weird.
Yeah,
but anyway, join everybody else.
Yeah, you're watching this show, that's what you want.
There you go. Join everyone else who's watching this or has watched this. Go to the Facebook page /thatriotshow. Also, after you're done with that, Twitter, having a great old time on Twitter. Still trying very hard to get banned on Twitter, Larry.
I'm telling you, one of these days, Trump, you're out.
Yeah,
sad.
Yeah. Go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. twitter.com/thatriotshow. Check us out there 24/7 for all the action there. Join a couple of other thousands of followers that follow The Riot on Twitter. And you know what's interesting, Larry? Anthony Cumia, our buddy.
Yeah.
He got banned from Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Like, completely.
Really?
Yeah. He had to start another account.
Completely banned from Twitter?
Twitter.
Not just one individual,
right,
like you.
Like Fuggle Sang and all those guys. But yeah, he got kicked off, entirely.
Wow.
Oh, but you know what was interesting? Since we're, let's name drop a little bit. You know who had a little Twitter exchange with me the other day?
Cool.
Matt Welch from Reason Magazine.
Wow, Matt Welch, my hero.
And you'd think we might talk about libertarian philosophy, maybe even a couple of dick jokes or something.
Yeah.
No, it was all about music.
Well, that is
really just go really just going back and forth about music, and it was really interesting how civilized libertarians can even argue about music.
Yes.
So it turns out he's a big Beach Boys fan.
Oh, Beach Boys. I'm going to myself, who's a Beach Boys? Is this some new band that I don't know, some old fun? I like the Beach Boys.
He loves the Beach Boys,
yeah,
and
so
he was
what?
Doing some... But I called them the Bitch Boys because he just kept tweeting this endless stream of, like, which song from 1963 was the best? Which song from 1964 was the best?
I hope you picked I Get Around.
Oh, it was one of the choices. Of course, I just told him, like...
They don't listen to me.
Yeah, so I spelled out Bitch Boys to him, right? And typical, like, man, he just responded, he goes, how appropriately negative of a comment that was. Like, just some non sequitur. And then we just started going back and forth, and I told him, I said... I really think punk rock is the soundtrack of the libertarian movement. You know, do it yourself, don't listen to authority and shit like that. And of course, he was open-minded. He said, who are these interrupters you talk about?
Yeah.
You know, so if you ever hear of the Interrupters, libertarian band, they have songs like Fight the Power, Where Did My Liberty Go, and things like that. Yeah. So I tweeted him a couple of links, and he came back and he goes, hey, this is really cool. Let me tweet it out to all my followers. And then some of his followers started tweeting me saying, oh, what about Pennywise or NoFX or the Ramones or The Clash? And, it really started a nice community conversation. We picked up some followers. I'm sure some of our followers started following Matt Welch. And that's how you get places. You have discussions, right?
Right.
Marketplace of ideas, back and forth.
Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jack.
Look, as close of friends as we are, our tastes in music have definitely diverged.
Yes.
As we got older.
I listened to classic rock. Terry Jacks was a joke. Yeah. I listen to classic rock. John likes punk rock.
Yeah. Or as I call
it, I wasn't crazy about it when it was big. So I mean,
Larry likes geezer rock.
Yeah.
The Biddles and the
Beatles and the Stones.
Bitch Boys.
Steve Mueller. Peter Frampton.
Oh, God, I'm going to throw up.
You don't like Steve Mueller? No, I don't.
Ugh. What's wrong with this corporate bullshit?
Steve Mueller is corporate bullshit? Oh, my God. If he were here, he'd be mighty upset with you.
Oh, and likewise, when I rattle off all the people I listen to, Rancid. Ugh. You know, No Effects.
That's not even music.
Pennywise.
Who?
The Clash. The Sex Pistols.
The Clash is legitimate. Those other bands are ridiculous. Oh my God.
Fuck Authority. Yeah. But anyway, good fun going on. It's not. It's not all pissing people off on Twitter. Well, it is most of the time. But every so often,
it is.
You have a civilized back and forth every so often to express opinions and share them. But anyway. Listen, when you get done with that, Phil, I know I missed my cue.
Hurry up and roll it.
Yeah, I missed my cue, so I get it, alright? Just fucking roll it, okay? Bitch. Alright.
Speaking of the Bitch Boys.
The Scrollo Podcast.
Alright.
Whenever you want to download us and take us on the go, go to your favorite podcasting platform, whether it's iTunes, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Podomatic, TuneIn, Player.fm, Stitcher, anywhere great podcasts can be found, even the shitty ones. Look up that Riot Show on all your favorite platforms. You'll be able to download it for free, okay? Fantastic. All right, let's get right into it, Larry.
Yeah, Bitch Boys.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's it. You got Scaramucci. He shows up.
Oh, God.
And big fight with Reince Priebus.
All right, so.
And head-to-head.
First of all, I'm sorry, let's...
Why? Right,
I have to back up just a little bit, okay?
Right.
I have to preface all this by saying, all the shit we're going to talk about tonight has happened in less than a week.
Less than a week? It's happened in the last 6 minutes. Some of this happened right as we were coming into the studio.
So, Larry's right. Let's start off with our pal Scaramucci, who I think was a character on The Sopranos.
Yes.
But Scaramucci... Hey!
Scaramucci.
What the fuck?
Reince, you're a fucking leaker, you fag.
Why are you giving my boy Trump some shit here? I'm gonna have to fuck you up.
I'm gonna fuck you up, even though I said he was a hack 2 years ago.
So Trump.
Proving
that he is certainly a man of great business intelligence. And one of those great things that CEOs have is they know how to make great hires, Larry. They hire good people around them. Right? And obviously that's why Trump was a shitty CEO and like had some of like 12 fucking bankruptcies and failures, all right? So first, he hires like a spineless twit like Sean Spicer. That guy finally loses his mind and quit last week.
Yeah,
we talked about it, right? He couldn't take it anymore.
Between SNL and the media.
And his replacement is some fucking Goomba from Brooklyn, apparently.
No, it's Sarah Huckabee.
It's Mooch, communications guy, right?
Oh, okay.
So, Scaramucci comes in. Hey, it's a matter for you. Hey, come on. One of his tribe comes along. Which, by the way...
Straighten shit up.
Which, by the way, if you're an Italian-American, you must be swelling with pride at this guy.
I am. I'm so happy he's there.
Every fucking negative stereotype. Like, the only thing that he hasn't lived up to is a negative stereotype.
Was a villain.
He hasn't put a bullet in somebody's head.
But he's only been on the job for 8 hours.
You fucking rat.
He did the political equivalent of it. He showed up. He accused Reince Priebus of being the leaker.
Like the second day.
Now, apparently, but here's the funny thing. This might actually be true. Because Trump just went, you're out. And he hired General Kelly, another military guy.
It's so much to get to. We have to try to keep somewhere over here.
Packing.
Yeah. So Scaramucci gets hired. He's some fucking Goomba, I think, from Brooklyn, somewhere in New York, right? He comes on as vulgar as his boss, okay?
Uh-huh.
Like, calls up a reporter for some reason at the New Yorker, tells him that Steve Bannon is trying to suck his own cock. Literally is trying to suck his own cock. And somehow he thought that this reporter would go public with it. So not only is he a fucking vulgarian like Trump, he's apparently as stupid as Trump is.
He might be, because how could you trust any reporter? I mean, the,
especially from the New Yorker.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You get this job. Now, look, I realize Trump wants outsiders, the whole thing. But you know what? You have to have enough knowledge to know that, look, reporters are not your friends. You can be friendly to them, but they are not your friends. They're not people you can trust. Plus, according to the reporters guy, I think his last name was Rizza and something, he said, I'm going to use this. Like, apparently, he did tell him.
Oh, fuck you.
Like, he didn't, in other words, at no point did Scaramucci say, look, this is all off the record. So he just said, look, I'm just going to use this. He goes, suck my cock, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. So now, the mooch is a, you know, but I know that Trump is loving this. Because you know why? Because, all right, here's why. Scaramucci, now Kelly is in. North Korea is firing a missile. They're transgender. Nobody's talking about Russia.
See, now that's,
nobody's talking about Russia. Yeah. Did you notice? It's gone.
So here's the thing.
We've actually had a couple of days of, I haven't heard Russia or Putin.
Well, it's not just the Russia thing. And this is why I'm trying to keep like some sort of timeline here, Larry. Because it gets a little crazy, right? So they he brings in Scaramucci, who immediately, I mean, who in their right mind thought that having some, like I keep saying Goombine, it's a joke and all that, but like who thought that somebody who talks like a kid from the street, seriously, is fit to be the official White House communications director, okay? He didn't pick him for some back office job. It wasn't like this was a hot mic, like Biden saying, oh, this was fucking awesome and shit like that. It wasn't a hot mic thing. It was, he went out of his way.
Yeah, to make a statement.
To make a statement about Bannon sucking his own cock, all right? And it's very clear what's happening, right? You had the camp of Trump loyalists, who even though they got on the Trump bandwagon early, Larry, right. We're talking about Sessions, we're talking about Bannon, we're talking about Priebus, right? But these guys still had a foot, not Bannon so much, but the other two certainly still had a foot in the traditional political machine, right? Once Priebus put together the ground game for Trump, right? Oh, basically?
Yeah. No, he did a very good job at the RNC. All their congressional and senatorial wins were under his...
Jeff Sessions is a fucking redneck as far as I'm concerned, but in terms of loyalty, wow. He was the first senator, and maybe the only one, before it became evident...
Before Saxon, Chambliss, and some other got on board.
To get on board with Trump, okay? Yeah. And he's agreed with everything Trump has said. The only thing he did was recuse himself from the Russia thing. Apparently, though, if you're a Trump loyalist, you get fucked in the ass. Like, someone brought it up.
But that's not wrong.
No, but I'm saying, look at all the people who supported Trump.
Right, no, I understand.
Chris Christie. Who fucking heard of him no more? Right? Like, you ain't never hear from him no more.
No, he's gone.
No, but that's what I'm saying. What was that? You ain't gonna hear from him no more.
Oh, that's the Godfather. Yeah. Oh, you won't be hearing from him no more.
Yeah.
You won't be seeing him. No.
Chris Christie. Gone. Newt Gingrich? Marginalized.
Marred by doing Fox interviews.
Sessions? I'm telling you, Trump is waiting for the recess to make a recess appointment on him. I'd be surprised
if he doesn't have to go through hearings and bullshit.
So at the next cycle, if he's still around, I'd be highly surprised, right?
And like you
Sean
realize,
Spicer?
Right.
Well, talk about a loyal cocksucker from the beginning, and he got fucked. He's gone. Who was the other one I was thinking of? I forget.
Oh, Flynn. At the very beginning.
All right, so all these guys... Trump loyalists, Trump dumped them in a hot New York minute, okay? But they were from that Bannon camp, right? Then you've got the camp that's being run by his son-in-law and his daughter, okay? Because if you kind of follow these sort of insider things, all these new hires are basically coming from Jared Kushner and Ivanka, and they're kind of like saying, oh, no, they're loyal to you, Dad. And what you're getting now is a bunch of fucking sycophant assholes who are just there to be like in Trump's businesses. Oh, yeah, excellent boss, awesome, you're number one, you know. Because honestly, I know there's rubes out there that find Scaramucci refreshing, just like they think Trump is refreshing, okay? But you have to be honest with yourself, okay? It's a fucking embarrassment to have someone in the White House talking the way we do.
Right.
Okay, it's a fucking embarrassment to the country.
Well, that's been my thing since the very beginning, is how unstatesmanlike and how unpresidential he was. And on the last show, I cited, which came out, they did the polls. Yeah. Over 70% now of the country says Trump is unpresidential and unstatesmanlike. Look, when you're the most powerful country in the world, which, based on some things I've been reading about China, might not even be the case in 5 to 10 years. But when you are who we are, the president has to be, I always pick Reagan as like the perfect example. This is how you carry yourself. Go back and watch things, right? How much more professional and statesmanlike and president never, ever, ever once embarrassed his country. No, not once, not one time. Even stupid Obama, who I can't stand, okay? I don't agree that he ever, like, looked bad or embarrassed the country. I don't think he said anything, like, out of line.
Crazy.
Look at this. I realize, I mean, John's right. There are all the people, still about 40%, they think this is great. They think this is great. Hey, Scaramucci talks like us. Trump talks like us. Ivanka is hot. You see, Trump went to some rally in Grand Rapids the other day or something, and some guy got up and said, thank you for Melania. Look at these dingleberries. So, you know what? But the problem with the Trump is there's no loyalty. And I think everybody's got a shelf life of like 6 months or a year. And no, seriously, even the military guys, you know, like Kelly has been running Homeland Security, so now he's the chief of staff. Very respected. He's a former Marine. He's really tough.
He won't be
disciplined. He believes in discipline and order and getting the job done. I'm telling you, by Christmas, he could be gone. No. Give him 6 months. But
I read officially, Reince Priebus, the shortest serving chief of staff ever.
Right. Now you realize, and John dug this up, Trump, while Obama was in office, went out of his way to tweet 3 chief of staffs in 3 years. This is why things don't get done. And he took a shot at
2012 at Obama.
Really?
At Obama.
Look at this idiot.
He's had 2 in 6 months.
The only people, let me tell you something, there are only 2 people in this administration who have secure jobs, and that's Trump and Pence. He's not going to get rid of Pence. He loves that knucklehead.
Well, he can't get rid of Pence.
But he loves it.
It's the vice president does not serve at the
level of the president. No, I know that, but he wouldn't. He just thinks he's the best.
Right.
But everybody else, you could be in, you could be out. And, you know, the funny thing is, even look how he's treating Sessions now. So they started bandying about some names who could be the AG, and then they brought up my favorite guy, Giuliani. You know what the problem is going to be? Giuliani came out and said he was right for recusing himself because it was the right thing for him to do. So, that's got to be like the Trump. That's got to be like a red flag, right?
Well, it's not a red flag. It's a sign of disloyalty because he disagreed with him.
No, but I mean to him, that even if he was thinking of bringing he agrees with what Sessions did, which Trump is using as a definition as the wrong thing to do. Because Trump went out and said, if I knew he was going to recuse himself ahead of time, I wouldn't have offered him the job. So now you've got Kelly coming in. I saw a whole thing on him saying, hey, look, he's a very tough, respectable guy. I saw Leon Panetta, former Democrat. He was the head of the CIA, head of Homeland Security, chief of staff. He called into a show I was watching, and he said, this guy's very respected, very tough. But you know what? You can't fill every post with military people. I mean, it's nutty. It's kind of like Dr. Carson there being the head of HUD.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the military guys because I know that they have the discipline and focus to do things. And guys like Reince Priebus, Scott Spicer, you know, they seem soft. But you know what? You can't, every job can't be done by somebody in the military.
Yeah, and to your point, I think Kelly is considered to be a good guy and someone that even Democrats seem to appreciate, even if they don't agree with him. But here's the other thing. So in the middle of all this happening, you've got the health care vote that the Republicans try to pull through, the repeal of Obamacare. And what's interesting is, talk about fucking losers, okay? So all this is happening with people coming and going from the administration, right? A lot of it probably a distraction, as Larry said, for the Russia thing. So that kind of peters out in this new cycle because healthcare is dominating. And what did you have? You had the Republicans doing even a fucking worse job than the Democrats did with Obamacare in transparency. They literally, what was it, the morning of the vote, had no fucking bill written. They were trying to pass placeholder legislation, okay? In terms of the repeal of Obamacare,
they couldn't even get a repeal.
They couldn't even get a full repeal. They couldn't get a skinny repeal, which honestly, I was like upset at Rand Paul. Rand Paul said, okay, if we can't get full repeal, let's get skinny repeal, which meant like cutting out pieces of it. And I was like, bullshit. I consider that a sellout, okay?
Right.
But here's the thing. They couldn't even, so think about what we're talking about. Republican president, Republican Senate, Republican House, Republican Supreme Court. Okay? They have no fucking excuses. And this legislation didn't even need the usual 60 to pass. It just needed 50. 50, and then Pence would break the tie, right. like he did with the motion to proceed, right? So the first motion to proceed, it was a 50-50, and Pence broke the tie.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Then they get to pass the thing, and our old pal John McCain makes the trip. And honestly, look, we talked about John McCain last show. We said, you know, God bless him, hope he does well, good luck with the cancer and all that.
Of course.
Right? And he's been a military hero and all that. But politically, he's never been a Republican. Let's face it.
Yeah.
He's been a Democrat or a conservative Democrat at best.
Well, that maverick.
So when all this maverick bullshit comes up, I start laughing because he's not a maverick. It's not like he's an independent, really. What he is a conservative Democrat or a liberal Republican. Take either definition. He sits right at that middle of the two parties, but he's a statist. He's a warmonger, all right? He loves that shit, okay? He loves big government. So at the end of the day, he's really no different than all the Democrats and most of the Republicans.
Right.
What did he do? He got up for his vote, made the big Roman sort of like, hail, you know. And then when they asked him for his vote, he literally went, thumbs down, just like in the old Colosseums, all right? Now, am I surprised that he voted no? Not at all.
Not at all.
Despite all his shit, okay? But here's my point. You fucking cowardly Republicans couldn't even muster up your entire faction to vote away Obamacare.
How long of complaining?
7 years of bitching, okay?
Telling us how horrible it is, and the government took over 1/6 of the economy, and you've got to get rid of it, we got to do this, we got to get done. And now you're getting Mitch McConnell. I mean, he's actually known for his skills.
You mean Mitch McConnell?
Yeah, fucking Mitch McConnell, that goofy-looking hillbilly. Couldn't get it done. So now Trump has nothing. He has no legislation. So now what does he go out and threaten? Well, we'll just let Obamacare implode. Okay, let it implode. But you know what? You know, the Democrats, at least, look, they fucked up. And there was no transparency when they were putting it through. But they got it through.
Yeah.
If nothing else, they actually managed to rally enough losers that they actually put this through. What is their excuse for not getting this through?
Their excuse is the following. They are Democrats who go to church. That's what they fucking are, Republicans. Get used to it, all right? They're Democrats that go to church. That's what they are. Okay?
Yeah.
That's all they are. So why are we surprised? Yeah, why are we surprised that you couldn't muster, what's their majority right now?
52.
They couldn't muster 50 of 52 votes. They couldn't. So that's a leadership failure. That's an ideological failure. Because even the fact that they had to go to the skinny repeal is a fucking disgrace.
Yeah, that's a mess. You know what? When I heard that we're going to vote on the skinny, I was like, are they really in this much trouble? That how does the repeal not get done? See, that's the other thing. Like, if you don't like what they're trying to replace with, like,
fair enough.
Like, okay, Senator Collins and McCain and a couple of other ones came out. Okay, fine. You can work on that. But even just to get rid of the fucking Affordable Care Act, you couldn't even get that done. So that goes to show you that. And see, and this is the problem. And we talked about this. See, the Obamacare, what happened is it actually, despite the politics of it, it mostly has actually benefited poor people in red states. The majority of people do not actually live in blue states. They live in red states. West Virginia, places in parts of like Arizona, Kentucky, places where there's a lot of white people, it's rural. These are the people who are benefiting from, like even the Susan, I think, what's her last name, Collins? She voted against it. She's up in Maine or Vermont. She had to. It's political death because there actually are people who are on this stupid Affordable Care Act. This is their health care. And to wipe it out really is to, even if it's not really, it's kind of misleading to say, well, 20 million people, they'll eventually get something back from the market or something. But right now, you have people taking advantage of this. And just to say, they're not prepared to do it. And they didn't want to do it.
Spineless cowards.
And the funniest thing is that the people who've been most taking advantage of your Obamacare are people who live in red states, not blue states.
Well,
California, Massachusetts, these people already have health care through
Medicare.
Yeah.
Like blue states already had their state sponsor, like Massachusetts. We've said it. Romneycare was the blueprint for Obamacare, okay? So that's what I'm saying. Anybody who voted for Trump thinking he's a Republican or thinking he's a conservative, fuck you. You got what you deserve. You voted for the lesser of two evils. Guess what you got? You got evil. Okay? That's what you got. And then these fucking clowns in Congress can't get their act together. Like Larry said, it'd be one thing if they repealed Obamacare and said, we really don't have a replacement yet.
Which is outrageous.
Which, if you ask us, you know what the replacement is? Nothing.
Yeah.
Let the free market work.
Take those people off the Obamacare and let them go into the market and get some fucking
stop
health care.
Stop subsidizing the insurance companies. Right. All right, that's the
and
other
thing.
Get
people back to work. You know, one of the ways you do it, you get people back to work so they can get jobs, and at their jobs, they get their health care. Well, why does the government have to dole out horrible healthcare plans with the premiums skyrocketing? And it's insane. And the fact that you could complain about something for 7 years, repeal and replace, I'm sorry, what would you guys have done if you had actually won in 2012?
Nothing.
Holy shit.
Nothing.
And this drives me nuts. So you complain about for 7 years, you've got nothing. So now, surprise of all surprises, Trump actually wins. Now look, you have from, and I said this a few weeks ago, you have from when he got elected to his inauguration, come up with something. Nothing. Nothing. They didn't care. They don't even want to lead. You know what? I have to actually agree with like some people like Bill Maher who just said, they're just used to being the party of no. Like they just sit around and they don't want to lead. They just want to complain and say this sucks and they have no leadership. I mean, nothing.
It's much harder to lead than to object.
Of course. It's easier to tear down than it is to build up. So, it's insane. And then you go through all these. Then the guy like Rand Paul, who actually has a plan, they keep him out of meetings. They keep him out of the loop. He's on shows talking about it. You can see he's knowledgeable. Even if you don't like what he's saying, you can see he's knowledgeable. The other senators, you see them interviews and they're like,
we want to
be able to take you across state lines. Like these generic lines that they've all, like, they don't know anything.
Horrible shit. And so, as this is floundering, as this voting is becoming evident, like, look, a lot of fucking liberals were screaming that McCain voted to proceed, that he had sold them out and shit. And I remember arguing, I said, listen, first of all, him saying vote the motion to go ahead is actually consistent with his principles. He wants to let the Senate vote. That's what the Senate is supposed to do, debate and vote, okay? Shit isn't supposed to necessarily always get killed in committee, all right? So the fact that he went out there to say, all right, I vote to proceed, that, and I kept telling liberals, all it means is that he's allowing a debate to go forward. And then what did he do? 6 hours later, a day later, he voted against it. He killed it, okay? So that's what I'm saying. It's like shit like this is driving people crazy. And when it became evident that this was not going to pass, that the repeal was not going through, that the skinny repeal wasn't going through, what does Trump do and everybody falls for it? He tweets out a meaningless tweet that says, we're banning transgenders from the military service. Okay? And everybody freaks the fuck out, Larry, this and that. So here's two things, all right? The first thing I'll say is, a fucking tweet has no legal bearing. Okay? So all of you started freaking out like little fucking five-year-olds, you fell for the got-your-nose trick, all right? While you're debating transgenders, the fucking, like, Republican healthcare repeal thing went down the toilet almost unnoticed, okay? Because you're too busy yelling about whether, and I looked it up, 0.39% of the U.S. population has a right to serve. Of course, the correct answer is nobody has a right to serve. It's not in the Constitution. You don't have a right to be in the Army or the Navy or whatever, all right? Now, my position on it, Larry, is let the fucking generals decide. First of all, even if Trump's statement had any legal bearing, let the general figure out. By the way, a couple of days later, the general said, we have no intention of changing the policy right now.
Right.
Okay? But if you think about it, 0.39% of the U.S. population is transgender, which means in the Army it's probably lower. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So we might be talking about what? Seriously, like out of 1.3 million servicemen and women,
well, they said
you might be talking about what? 10,000?
They said it's about 15,000 people.
See, I guessed right. 10,000, 15,000, so. Okay? And at the end of the day, who gives a fuck? Seriously.
Right.
Now, I happen to think that it's a mental illness, okay? But at the same time, I'm like, look, there's a lot of different little mental quirks that, and first of all, as civilians, I don't give a fuck, because right. live your life. If you want help, I'll help you. But if you think you're okay with your mental illness, go ahead. You're not bothering anybody.
Right, John thinks it's mental illness. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
But like that the guy lying in the bunk next to me could have tits. Oh, that's fantastic.
That Larry likes the lady boys.
Let me tell you something. As long as the bitch boys, as long as they aren't bothering me, and you can go out into the field and kill and do your job as a soldier, I don't care.
Exactly. And that's the whole point, right? But, like fucking lapdogs, like Pavlov's dogs, the fucking media fell for it again. And there were 2-3 days, Larry, of the news cycle dedicated to transgenders. Let's have an open dialogue about this. Let's debate whether there's two genders or not. Let's debate if genetics is what decides your sex, or you sitting in your easy chair at night deciding what the fuck you are, okay? All ridiculousness because Trump floated a tweet out there and all you idiots fell for it. Right in the middle of a healthcare
thing. It's actually something he's very good at.
No, he's got
very
that down.
Just getting the media and people who don't like him.
Yeah.
He's very good at just tweeting things that he knows. Talk about successfully trolling people.
Yes.
And you know what, the other thing, you know why you're never going to beat this guy at this shit? Let me tell you, this is the one compliment I'll give this asshole. If you're an old Star Trek buff like me, you've seen the episode, The Day of the Dove, with that crazy creature flying through the ship. He makes the Klingons
and
fight each other and kill. Donald Trump is the dove. He feeds off all the static and crazy. He loves this shit. He sends something stupid out. Then somebody like Kathy Griffin shows up with his bloody head. Or somebody goes out and says, you're horrible, you're mean. Yeah. What were you telling me before the show? So, oh, George Takei. Very gay guy, okay, had to tweet that Donald Trump is mean, the meanest, cruelest, worst president
ever
since lunch.
He said ever.
So, forever, okay.
And I pointed out to him,
yes,
Democrat FDR interred your Japanese ancestors. Yeah. In internment camps during World War II with no trial or anything. I think that might be cruel.
Took all their assets.
Fucking JFK and LBJ, more Democrats that went by 3 initials, sent hundreds of thousands of kids to die in Vietnam needlessly, okay? And then our buddy Harry S. Truman, who was also a Democrat, is the only leader in history to drop a nuke on other people. Nukes on other people, okay?
And a lot of people think that was racial.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, historically.
He wouldn't have bombed it in Germany.
He wouldn't have bombed Germany or Italy for what it would have been worth. Like, Europe, we're not bombing that. Japan over there.
Well, I mean, I doubt it was racial. There were other reasons.
Well, but, I know, but they put that out there.
But if you're George Takei, you have to understand that when you say shit like that, it's not like nobody notices or has an understanding of history. I know liberal millennials have no sense of history, but there's some old parts like us that still remember guys like FDR, JFK, LBJ, Truman, who did shit like this, okay? That far worse than anything Trump's done, and we hate Trump, okay?
Yeah.
And we think maybe the potential for Trump to do stupid things is great, okay? But the truth of the matter is he's just an asshole right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Those guys that I just mentioned actually killed people.
Yeah.
Actually sent people to internment. Think about this. On the west coast of this country,
right,
there were communities that were built with barbed. They were prison. They were prison camps. And Japanese Americans, whose only crime was that
they were Japanese,
were rounded up, not given any trials. Right. Their property was taken from them. Their houses were taken from them. They were never compensated for them, even after the war. They were never compensated for them. I think there was something that happened like 40 years later. But at the time, they were never compensated. And they were just thrown into these camps. No trial. No suspicion of spying. Nothing. They just happened to look Japanese, and they threw them in.
They didn't round up Germans and Italians.
Exactly. So. There were no, like, Italians from New York put in internment camps. There were no Germans from the middle of the country.
Yeah.
You know, where there's a whole bunch of Germans in the Midwest, okay? They settled the Midwest, okay? Where were they interred? Okay, so maybe there was some racial thing to the internment. Obviously, I don't know about the bomb drop. But my point is, George Takei, wake the fuck up. Okay, seriously, he's the cruelest. Stupid. I was with you when you said he was the dumbest and silliest. I got you there.
Right.
But the cruelest? Go fuck yourself.
He's not. And let me tell you something. Whether you support transgender people being in the military or not, that is not the definition of being the cruelest.
Right.
Okay. But this is one of those silly arguments like, There are guys who are in the military. They're very macho.
Yeah.
And they don't want some fag sitting next to them, or some guy with tits, like I said, or some guy
with tits.
Who's got it. Like, in other words, these are people who, like, they're afraid that if they fall asleep at night, they're going to wake up and that guy's going to be like, hi, honey, like, or something stupid like that, or that they feel like maybe they can't count on them, or their strength. Please, stop wasting my time. There are much worse things that went on, for God's sake. Jimmy Carter was a peanut butter.
Yeah. So, but I mean, so anyway, so get a thing. So anyway, just to wrap it up.
Right, yeah.
So Trump now distracts him with the transgender thing.
Yeah.
Kind of gets it away. He was trying to give a little bit of breathing space for the healthcare thing. It failed miserably. He's already threatening senators, right? He threatened, what was it, Susan Collins, saying, like, now she's going to pay for this, or get us the sick. Like, it's always we need more. How much more do you need? You control everything right now. What else do you fucking need? You're worse than fucking Democrats. Keep that in mind as I repeat it. You're worse than fucking Democrats.
And you better, let me tell you, if you're a Trump supporter and if Trump is listening, let me tell you something. You better hurry up and start working on your agenda. Because by 2018, your majority is going to be gone, at least probably in the House or the Senate. Let me tell you something. There's going to be, and the Democrats are going to be partying like crazy. And they don't deserve to win. Because you see they came out with their new brand, A Better Deal, or something stupid like that. The Democrats are such fucking losers. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to, but they are going to be the benefactors of all this craziness, of all this fucking up. And let me tell you something. If you can't get things done now with the Republicans, your party, Trump's in the Republican Party. If you can't get anything done now with the Senate and the House in your pocket, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the Democrats take one or both those chances?
What you going to do, brother?
That's it. And then you're really going to have to see fake tears of Chuck Schumer all the time and all this.
And also keep in mind, in the middle of all this, Trump decided that he needed to whip up the youth of the country. He had to go to the Boy Scout Jamboree and set up some fucking Hitler Youth rally, okay? What kind of president goes to, and you know what, the Boy Scouts, a private organization, had to send out an apology to the parents of those kids.
Yeah.
Because basically he went there and he was like, remember when people said I couldn't win? And like, pimping his, to this day, 7 months later, he's still crowing that he beat Clinton.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Seriously. Then you had Boy Scouts booing Obama? You got 12 and 13-year-olds to boo the most recent former president. Why they should boo any fucking president is beyond me. Why you want 12 and 13-year-olds to just boo anyone in general, I don't understand. Why are you filling them with that sort of hatred and letting them think that this is the way you deal with things in life?
Right.
All right? Why would you want that? And I guarantee you, from what I saw, the Boy Scouts had no idea this was happening.
No, not at all.
But it just goes to show you that if you deal with the fucking devil like Trump, that's what you get. You get burned. We said it, Reince Priebus, he figured it out. Right? Loyal to a fault. Fuck you. Up your ass with broken glass.
Yeah, and he had to go out and put out a statement saying, well, the president decided to go in a different direction, and I support it.
Yeah.
And, like, if you think John's wrong about that, it's always about Trump. It's always about his brand. How about this? He was, I think, in Wisconsin the other day, right? And I'm not going to call it the swamp anymore. I'm going to call it the sewer or the septic tank. He went through, like, a whole new list. Then, while he's there, and this happens to be true, but he went out and he talked about a $70 billion something investment of jobs that are coming to Wisconsin. So some company, I forgot the name of it, they're coming to Wisconsin, 13,000 jobs. Guess who stands and goes, basically, they would not be doing this had I not won. And he steps away from the podium and he looks at the golden knuckleheads behind him and they're all black. It's all about him. It's all, I mean, oh, for God's sakes.
And if you think there's any sort of decency to this guy, there isn't, all right? He was in New York today. Now, you would think, talking about a topic like we're going to eliminate gang violence, you pretty much think everyone could get behind that, like, conceptually, Larry?
Yeah, it was on Long Island.
Yeah, in Long Island here in New York and Suffolk County, okay? Because that's an area of the country that's been particularly hit hard by MS-13.
Yeah, they're
right?
Really set up shop.
MS-13 is here in California and some areas, right? Throughout the country, basically. So you think, conceptually, here we are, we're talking about getting rid of a violent gang. We can get behind that. What does the asshole do? He goes out, he talks to the cops here in New York, has to make it again about himself. which, by the way, if you recall, it was Jeff Sessions who really wanted to go after MSK.
Right, this is his thing.
The one of the few things that I can say Jeff Sessions made the right decision on, because he's been wrong on civil asset forfeiture, he's been wrong on the drug war, so at least he was right about this gang nonsense, okay? But you know what Trump turned it into? He literally told cops to not be nice to anyone.
Right. Yeah, but he also picked on de Blasio.
And he picked on de Blasio, whatever. Yeah. But my point is, what president looks at law enforcement and says, pipe away? And you could tell, like, he didn't come out and say, why don't you just forget the rules and beat the shit out of them? But that was clearly what he meant. That was the intent he put across. Why is a president doing that?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand. What kind of president is a goonish, thuggish mentality his idea of law enforcement is, well, we know they're guilty, we know they're guilty, so why don't you go fuck them up?
Bill of Rights?
This is crazy. You know, it's almost like, it's like the original Death Wish movie with Charles Bronson. You don't just go out and shoot criminals. I understand they're scum, but you know what? You don't go out and just waste them and shoot them. You certainly don't encourage a law enforcement agent whose only job is to capture these people and then bring them into our system so they have their rights read to them, they get their day in court, and then deciding, depending on what goes on there, that's the way it goes.
It's what distinguishes us from the savages.
Yeah.
Okay, it's one of the things that distinguishes
us from the savages. You want to live in countries like Iran, in these countries? I keep reading stories. I told John a few weeks ago, there's some story, a guy in, I think it was Iran, is accused of stealing something. The trial was kangaroo at best. They cut his left hand off.
Oh.
They cut his left hand off. I was like, you want to live like that? Please.
Since Larry's talking about the savage lands, I read today. You want to talk about what happens when the cops take the law in their own hands, or when fucking courts are based on laws of personal revenge and everything? In one of these countries, I think it was Pakistan, but I'm not 100% sure, but it's one of those savage nations. A court ordered that a man rape the sister of the guy who raped his wife.
Oh.
That was the ruling of the court. That to make things even, rather than fuck up the guy who did the rape, they ruled that the guy whose wife was raped gets to rape the guy's sister. Like in front of the court.
Right.
That was the ruling, okay? That is fucking Sharia law. That's like the law of the land out there, the Harba, whatever
that's
you want to call it.
The law of subhuman
animals. Yeah, it's savagery, okay? And basically, I'm not saying Trump said go fuck their mothers or anything, but he wants to bring it back to like what Larry said, Death Wish, Dirty Harry. And I guarantee you it's because those are the movies he saw in the 70s. And he thinks that's the way cops are good.
Yeah.
But Dirty Harry, Larry,
yeah.
Fuck the law. Yeah. You gotta go rogue. So
that's what I was saying. It's just mindless like vigilantism and rogue behavior. This is not how things are done. The police job is to effect arrest. They bring you into the system, they read you your rights, and kaboom, that's it. At that point, it's lawyers. Whether you like them or not, it's courts and lawyers, and this is how we do things. Okay? And we have 2.5 million people in jail in this country. We spend $80 billion a year to incarcerate all these assholes. Now, I'm sure that the overwhelming vast majority of these people are guilty and belong where they are. But, you know, we have a very serious problem, you know.
But a large majority of them, just to tie in, Larry, are minor drug offenders.
Yeah, a lot of it is bullshit. Jail should really be reserved for violent people who are dangerous. You know, people who are embezzlers, people who just smoke pot. People who do non-violent things. We should be doing, like, domicile detention, ankle bracelets.
Fines.
Make you work, clean graffiti. Like 12 hours a day. Like there has to be something other than taking Joe, you know, hubcap stealer and putting him in with Mr. Murderer and Rapist. That's insane. It's insane. Plus, you know, think of the kind of society you live in. Here's a funny thing about prison. Have you ever noticed that you live in a society, look how sensitive everybody is now. You hear about snowflakes. Everyone's offended by language, right? He talks about what's going on in Canada. We don't want racism. We don't want vulgar. Okay. Meanwhile, here's an entire part of the country, jail, where everything's racial. And everything's like, you're basically to survive in jail, you have to join a race gang. You can't survive like as an individual. That like died out in like the 60s. Like you have to be either in the Aryan Nations or the Black Guerrillas or the Latin Kings or the Gesu Mao, like whatever the fuck they are. But I'm serious. Like think of it. And these are the worst people we have in society, right? You would assume, right? So here's an environment that's totally racial. It's totally violent. Lots of rapes and beatings and crazy shit going on. And all these horrible things. And you're letting them function in an environment that is the exact opposite of everything that you're trying to achieve in your regular society, this multicultural society. And meanwhile, then you want to take these people at a certain point, let them out and say, look, go and behave yourself. You know, like, I don't think people realize how backward that is. You're putting people in an environment where it's the exact opposite of everything you're trying to accomplish. And the most violent, dangerous people, for the most part, in our society, and you're telling them, well, that's here, not out there. So when you're out there, you have to behave. They're not going to behave differently. Yeah.
And here's the thing, to that point that Larry just made, Rand Paul has reached out to Kamala Harris to try to get prison reform bills through the Senate, okay? And seriously, maybe that's the way you approach things, really. A libertarian reaching out to a liberal on common ground to get common sense things passed, right? Maybe it takes that. Maybe first, before you tackle the stuff that everyone disagrees about, maybe we tackle the stuff that we think both sides can agree on.
Yeah,
and one of those is, like the left wing fucking hates the prison system, and libertarians fucking hate the prison system the way it is now.
Yeah.
Okay? Basically, over the drug. Because I think if you took out all the guys who sold weed, smoked weed, were considered the drug dealers and all that, non-violent drug dealers, let them out of prison. You probably empty out 20% of the prisons right now. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let them out. They don't deserve to be in there for that shit.
Jail should be for murderers, rapists, assholes who do both, muggers, other people brutalized and really are dangerous to themselves and to society.
Bernie Madoff types, they deserve to be in prison.
Yeah, they deserve to be in there. Absolutely. Because that's a different type of destroying life in society. But you know what? People who smoke pot, people who maybe sniff a little coke or something, you know, and then, of course, that gets into the whole thing about decriminalizing drugs and other things. Like, for instance, you know, all the doom and gloom and all the predictions that Colorado was going to fall apart as a state because they legalized pot have not come to fruition, people. And that's people like Sessions and a lot of conservatives. They were like, no, we can't do this. And you know what? The truth is, Colorado, they used to spend about $140 million a year fighting marijuana. That's the number that they came up with. I always remember they said that, $140 million. And then that's separate from like incarceration, jail, and lawyers, and trust. Now they made it legal, and they're taxing it or something.
They
have made something like $150 million or $200 million a year. And even though it's gone down now, you know, because, you know, whenever you legalize
something,
there's the new and everybody rushes to be a part of it, then it kind of tapers off. But the reality is they're not spending money fighting it anymore. They're making money on doing it, and they're not crowding their jails with some asshole who had a joint in his mouth.
But honestly, the net income portion of it is irrelevant to me. It's that you're not spending, like Larry said, to fight the drug war, a needless drug war.
Yeah, but it's also part of it. It's just the senselessness of wasting money.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's what I mean. No, but what I mean is it doesn't matter if they don't make any money off tax revenue. Yeah. I don't give a shit about it. I mean, if they do,
no, great. They just happen to be.
Yeah.
No, that's
and by the way,
I think that's a good thing.
But the initial things that I saw, and I could be wrong here, but I think the initial numbers that I saw, and again, you have to wait a little while, but the initial numbers I saw were that other things like drunken driving and all that sort of stuff has actually decreased.
Yeah.
Because people are like, why should I drink and drive when I can smoke a little weed and drive?
Yeah.
Okay? Now again, you're talking to someone who does neither and never has. Completely straight edge. Okay? But I've come around to this opinion. We don't need to fight this war. Hardcore anti-drug.
Yeah.
Up until a certain point in my life, when, like, the light switch went on, I said, I'm a libertarian just about in every other aspect. Why am I refusing to trust the free market here? And you know what? You're right. I changed my mind. I evolved on the issue, Larry.
Yeah, because
we used to argue about it.
I used to tell, and this goes back, John and I have known each other a long time. I used to tell him, what's the point of doing it? I used to tell people, the war on drugs, there is no war on drugs. And then they had that commission about 10 years ago, George Shultz, Reagan's former Secretary of State was on it. The statement they came out with, if there's a war on drugs, we're getting our butts kicked.
Yeah.
The smuggling tunnels under the, well, of course, that ties into the wall.
Organized crime.
Organized crime, the cartels, Russian gangsters, the triads, the mafia, the Yakuza, I mean, all of the Jamaican boss making tons and tons of money on drugs. What are we doing? I understand you don't want to walk down the street and have everybody stoned out of their mind. I live, you know, we live here in New York. I smell pot now all the time. But, I mean, in the streets. But you know what? What is the point of putting these people in jail? They're not dangerous. They're not committing crime. Look, the drug problem, the opioid problem, this is a real problem. I actually give kudos to Tucker Carlson at Fox News. He's the only one talking that I know about the opioid problem out there. I don't know anybody. He actually, at least once a week, he has doctors on. He's got like experts who study this shit. He's constantly talking about it, and it's just destroying people's lives. And, like, what are we doing? We're going to arrest these people? We're going to, the whole drug thing, we have to start seriously looking at decriminalizing it. I'm not saying legalize every, I mean, you know, I don't want kids taking heroin or whatever, but there has to be a policy where, and even what John said, the 20% that out of jail, that's probably right. All right, but we have to start really looking at this effectively and, you know, what are we going to do? Keep wasting jail time and you have to realize it costs money to go to court and convict and blah, blah, blah. And what are you wasting the jail space and time for? Jail should be for people who are violent, dangerous. See, that's why, like the MS-13 thing, good, fine. Go fucking arrest them, round them up. Good. Give them their dang court. They're scumbags. The ones who are out in Long Island in particular that they arrest four of them. They killed four kids with machetes. They're very dangerous, horrible people. I have no problem going after them. But these other things, like the priorities are screwed up. And even $80 billion, if that doesn't bother you, you have to realize the government just keeps spending money on stupid shit. And
yeah, we have to definitely just end that shit. It's just crazy.
Where is that getting us? At the end of the day.
And fuck, you know, like seriously, we just have to. But anyway. Enough of the Trump nonsense. I think we've covered enough for this week. Larry, some of the other things that I want to talk about is, first of all, our buddy in North Korea.
Yeah.
He actually managed to fire an ICBM. And it went, what, 44?
It went for 45 minutes.
Right.
It went higher and longer than the previous shot, and it landed somewhere in the Sea of Japan.
Right.
And military experts are actually now, like, really sitting up and taking notice. Now, it used to be kind of funny in the past.
They do it once or twice a year.
Yeah, you know, and they give them, like, money and, seriously, like, rice and food and, like, just say, shut up. But the problem here is he's been shooting missiles like crazy. And, you know, I said a few weeks ago, one of these days, that, you know, because they're in control of these things. It's not like us, that we have, like, really good control. And one of these days, like, something's going to fuck up. He's actually going to hit, like, Japan or South Korea. And there's going to be, like, a war. This is going to be a problem. And the North Korea, now he's threatening to blow up the United States. That's his new thing. Yeah. So apparently, no number six for the Americans, because this guy is out of his mind. This guy with the lesbian haircut, he's out of his mind. And the North Korean news agency put out there that if the United States continues to threaten the supreme leader, we will have to rain down upon them nuclear weapons and destroy their entire like civilization. So I mean, I don't know how worried to really be about this. Probably not, but it is concerning. He is shooting missiles like at a fever pace here. And I cannot believe, and Trump, you know, he said that he had a good talk with the Chinese. Now, they're obviously doing nothing to stop this asshole. So,
that's always been an interesting sort of conundrum. If you're a person who believes in non-intervention, non-military this and non-military that, you believe in the power of trade and markets to resolve differences. Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. I wonder. See, Larry, philosophically, I guess, and maybe just to end the show, we could talk about this a little bit.
All right.
How would you handle it? How would you go about it? Like, trying to balance everything that you know, your principles, say, as a conservatarian or whatever you want to call yourself. Like, how would you, I mean, I think I may talk through it, but what do you think? What would you do? Say you're Secretary of State. How would you handle it?
Yeah, I have to tell you, the only things that they do that makes sense. They keep doing the joint military operations with South Korea, and like some with like Australia, and like some of our allies in the area. But Everything I keep hearing is that we need the Chinese government to lean on them because they get like 90% of their shit from China. But I don't see anything happening on that front. The problem you have here is, you know, this is not like East Germany and West Germany, you know, that East Germany was like a fourth of the country, West Germany, and they were able to absorb them when the communists fell apart. Like, if this country fell apart, South Korea would not be able to absorb them. So you can't just take them over. You can't easily get... we have a law that prevents us from killing leaders of other countries. Don't ask Judah Larry M, because I don't think that's a very good idea. I think entire wars like Iraq could have been avoided if you could just kill a leader and get rid of him. But we have very, very limited options here. Very limited. Even the Russians are backing them a little bit. What do we do? If you attack them, what are you doing? They can start unloading on South Korea, get a lot of people killed. They can attack Japan. So another point is, militarily, very limited options. Economically, what are you going to do with them? They have nothing. It's a fucking black hole. It's not like countries like when we had sanctions on Iran. They were really feeling it because we were keeping like a lot of stuff from getting. What are you going to do to this guy? And as far as him, he doesn't care if the people are starving. That's their whole battle plan. They got 24 million people, and roughly about 20 of them are really in like abject poverty. I mean, really. Only people in the government live well. And you've seen like him kill about like 80 of them. I mean, you know, it's an insane situation. I don't even know what kind of pressure you can bring. Unless you can get like China or some country to help you out, what you can fucking do with this guy.
It's a tough situation, like you said, because
there's no way to squeeze them.
You could try to embargo them, like you said, but they're so fucking poor anyway. Like, again, I've said this 100 times, but go Google North Korea satellite picture at night.
Yeah.
Go Google that. And what you see is South Korea at night, lights and action, right? Yeah. It looks like a city here in the U.S. And literally, you get to the border, and it's as if someone just unplugged everything.
Yeah.
Like one light in North Korea, it's probably Kim Jong-un getting blown in his bedroom. And you could see that. Just fucking darkness. Not metaphorical darkness, which is the case, but physical darkness. Just, you see no lights from that satellite thing. It is fucking horrible there. So I'm wondering if you somehow could pull up a really solid embargo, could you get that cocksucker to deal, or, in a more extreme case, get the people to overthrow him? Now, I know that's easier said than done, obviously. But, I mean, hunger makes people do crazy shit.
But there have, you see, my thing is there have to be, I mean, obviously he's killed a lot of people, he's probably wrong, but there have to be some people who want to get rid of him and want to kill him, and some people, there has to be some reasonable people over there. And then there has to be people who realize whatever our economic strategy, the 5-year plan, the communists always talk about, isn't working. Government-run stuff isn't working. We're not providing for people. You know, I talked once about a British documentary I saw on HBO. These Brits, they snuck cameras in. Don't ask me how they got them in. And they showed
their anuses.
Probably, because the Brits are very proper. And they showed people in North Korea shaving bark off trees. And they boil it down into a soup. And that's their food. For all the people out there, all you left-wing assholes who don't like capitalism, all you Bernie supporters, think about that the next time you can just walk into any deli or grocery. Pick up whatever the hell you want. There's candies, there's food.
But when you start saying people will die if you cut their welfare,
yeah, exactly.
Like that,
when you start saying stupid stuff like that, you better start realizing that there are places like this. This place is just a black hole. And the problem is, militarily and economically, there's not a lot of angles there. You actually, I know it sounds, you know, you've heard it 100 times. I think somehow we got to get the Chinese just to really lean on them, and then they'll stop.
I know Larry's leading more towards the diplomatic, sort of like, you know, take it.
You really want to start a war?
Well, no. But I'm also wondering, like, could we convince them? Like, look, for all the fighting through proxies, for all the Cold War stuff, really, a lot of analysts, very sort of glibly, but they're making a point. They said, what really caused, really accelerated the fall of the Soviet Union? Blue jeans and rock and roll. You know, that's an old saying. That's what caused the old Soviet Union to help fall. I mean, a lot of it had to do that they were fighting unsustainable wars. They were trying to keep up with America's, like, Star Wars program.
But that's still a little different because even Russia had 15 satellite nations they were trying to sit on, plus the war in Afghanistan.
It was costly.
That's a lot. This country's just sitting on themselves.
But they're so abjectly poor.
Right.
See, that's the other thing. Like, Russians were a third world nation with a first world army.
Military,
And like Larry said, they had satellite nations that they could actually move things back and forth, you know. So it took a lot longer for them to collapse for that reason, right? But North Korea, like you said, they're starving already. They're on the brink of, like, literally what Stalin did when he starved 30, 35 million of his own people by just Xing out, you know, transport and supplies, right? Right. North Korea is basically in the same boat, and I'm wondering, does it make sense to either A, shut them off completely, because they're not self-sufficient. They're not self-sufficient.
No, yeah.
So if you shut them off completely, nothing coming in, nothing going out, get the Chinese to play ball for a year, okay? But that's what I'm saying. Somehow,
every president for the past however many decades has been trying to get the Chinese to lean on them. You keep hearing
they're not leaning on them. Just literally stop trading with them. And if it means,
but that's what it means.
Go to the Chinese and say, we'll supplement. The United Nations or whatever fucking collective or the United States will make good whatever your trade surplus is with them.
Yeah, the Chinese don't want to stop because it's in their interest to have them be a pain in the ass.
I don't know that it is because...
Sure it is. It's a buffer against the South and Western ideas. It helps that... It makes things tougher on us, and we have to spend money and time and military over there. It's in their interest to have them be a thorn in the
ass. I understand, but
it's
also,
like they're Cuba when the Soviet Union
was around. But they're also like a pain in the ass. China isn't as communist. I know that sounds weird, as they used to be.
No, they're not.
So I'm just wondering if we all just really sent over to them and said, so that's one thing is get them to somehow force an embargo. Of course, the opposite might work too economically. Send them a lot of shit, but provision it on Kim Jong-un is no longer in charge. And here's a lot of food, and here's some fuel, and here's some colored TVs. Oh, and by the way, here's indoor plumbing, so you can take a shit indoors.
See, the other problem is, in the old Soviet Union, when they started to crumble, because they couldn't keep up with Reagan's economic and military buildup, which they tried to do.
Right.
A lot of people gave credit to Gorbachev back then. He really didn't deserve the credit. I used to tell people he's making a lot of changes because he has to, not because he wants to. But the other thing is they started getting jeans, they started getting music. And for what it's worth, not because they're white, but they're a little more Western or understanding of European. You know, this is not this country. This is a completely different place. This is a place where the people really think... The leaders, the whole family are divine and special. And nobody thought Yuri Andropov or Brezhnev.
Like the Rubes think Trump is divine.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, but they're not. This is like a religious, spiritual.
Except that Trump has tinier hands than Kim Jong-un.
Right, and a hotter wife. But he, who has not been seen in public in about a year now. But I don't know. There's not a lot of angles on
so
that.
So you would just go militarily, as much like covertly or whatever.
Yeah, you know what? But again, if we kill him, then.
But it's a tough line because I know what you mean. It's like
I'd love to kill him.
Like with Cuba,
I'd love to hear that. Like, and then maybe we could get a normal person.
Like,
maybe,
like we said with Cuba, right? Cuba took a long time, and basically they're still in bad shape. But they're starting to move because they have to. It took 55, 60 years.
60 years. Yeah.
But Castro was dead. We waited him out. I know it took forever. And look, the embargo on Cuba had an effect. I mean, their pipeline was the Soviet Union, honestly.
Yeah.
So, you know, communism under its own weight will collapse. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a workable
system. Same thing with socialism, which is why here in the U.S., we get upset about things like universal health care because it's socialism. Socialism doesn't work and it ends up destroying a country, all right? Mm-hmm. Can North Korea, which is maybe not socialist, but a fucking dictatorship, flat-out dictatorship, fucking military dictatorship, they could probably hang out longer because they don't even bother with the pretense that they're helping anybody or doing anything to the people. You speak up, you get shot. Period. You take a picture, you use the internet, you get shot.
Yeah, if you've ever seen pictures of North Korea like currently, somebody once pointed out, I didn't notice this before, the clothing the hairstyles of the women in particular, it's all like circa 1953, like, which is the year that the Korean War ended, or the conflict, because it was actually fought under the banner of the UN. They're like almost stuck in like a time warp. If you would actually walk around in society like in jean sneakers and like listening to a Walkman, you're in a lot of trouble. So that kind of like, you know, what happened in Russia, I don't know if that could happen. That the Russians, they let Billy Joel do a concert and they started doing stuff like
which
that.
Which was huge, by the way.
Yeah. But like, you have to realize the only reason this idiot over there let Dennis Rodman visit him is because he knew that Rodman was going to kiss his ass and like make him look
like it's a propaganda.
For
North Korea.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, that's a good discussion. Just what would you do? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
limited options, unfortunately.
I might be tempted to try the economic, carrot, you know, and just give the people, if you could somehow ensure that whatever you sent them ended up in their hands and not Kim Jong-un's hands somehow, it might be incentive enough to say, like, hey, these people say if we just do this, we can eat. And I'm not trying to be flippant. The ability to eat and to feed your family, to fuck as much as you want and have as many kids as you want, which is another thing that doesn't happen over there. There's a lot of these basic human activities that are denied to the people of North Korea. So if you could somehow enable them to do that,
it's a horrible life.
And look, let's face it. I've always said, I don't believe in the U.S. exporting freedom. That's not our job. It's not our job to export liberty, okay? It's okay for us to help those that want to achieve their liberty. But like Syria, we've said before, when we tried to help out the Syrians, we said, okay, let's recruit Syrian freedom fighters to work with the CIA. You know how many people showed up out of a nation of, what is it, 30 million or whatever? You know how many people showed up? Six.
Six.
That country does not deserve freedom. That country, as much as I hate to say it, deserves whatever the fuck they got with Assad. Yeah. If you could only scrounge up six people who gave enough of a shit about their country to fight for it, fuck them, okay?
Yeah, also, you're dealing with people who don't care about the concept of democracy. Yeah. They actually do want to live in, like, in a religious police state.
They want theocracy.
So
fuck them. Same thing with North Korea. Give it a try. Let's give their people a taste of liberty, a taste of economic freedom, a taste of the empowerment that capitalism brings, that free markets bring, right? Because the greatest eliminator of poverty is not socialism, it's not the government, it's capitalism, it's free markets, it's free enterprise. And if the people in North Korea embrace it, they will overthrow their fucking dictatorship. They will do it. Because the dictatorship is unsustainable, Larry.
Oh,
they're not producing anything. So, anyway. Maybe I'd go that way. Try the economic carrot if we could figure out
how do you do it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how to work out the logistics right now, but
okay.
I'm saying maybe that, like, if we put some good minds to that, we can do that.
Okay.
But, all right, look, Larry, I think that was a pretty good show today.
Absolutely.
My throat hurts because I don't think I've taken a break screaming.
That's not why his throat hurts.
Yeah.
All right.
Freedom.
Until next week. This has been your host, Big Bad John.
And the very non-racist Jew.
Defend free speech, bitches.